Hi, JJ. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Except I just sneezed three times. I have no idea
Are we gonna get? I better get to see you on
I
Wednesday.
know. I know. I can't even believe I just blanked that of course you'd be there.
Yeah, duh. Trying
Yeah,
to
I
avoid
know.
me. Why are you going?
Of course not. I'm going because I have two guys from Boston, New Hampshire I've been talking to for a year and dying to meet them. And so I'm going because I guess everybody goes, as I've heard. I'll
Everybody
go.
goes, baby.
Who knew?
It's
I was really
Wimbledon,
out of it.
man.
Well, you know, the people that do the whole thing are down the street from us on
Oh,
Pearl
that's
Street.
funny. Yeah, it's a
So,
massive deal.
I gathered, and then I couldn't believe it. So I was like, okay, we've been obviously missing out on this. So,
Yeah.
I'll tell you more about it after we get off. But
Exactly. Everyone's like going, really? Do we
yeah,
have to listen to this?
this is
Come
why
on, girls.
this is why I make time in my
Kill it.
schedule.
Oh, God.
Okay, so if you're just joining us, we will be starting in 2 minutes. I have 12:58 according to my new cell phone.
And I'm just trying to tape my, I just messed up my FedEx bag, so I'm just going to tape that real quick while we're finishing
While we're
here. So.
waiting. And we have Leilani. If you're joining us, we have Leilani as our operator who will
All
teach
righty.
you how to submit. Hi, Leilani.
Uh-oh, do we have Leilani?
Yeah, we do. We just have to
Okay.
pause for a
All right.
second. We do. By the way, someone who's editing one of our audios was like, "You guys just don't pause for half a second. It's just impossible."
We're
I was
women.
laughing. I know.
That's how we roll.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who wants to listen to dead air?
Yeah, come on.
Now I just talked to Leilani about a minute before you got on. Okay, so we are going to start in about a minute. If you're just joining us, we have such good questions.
It's the Jackie and JJ show.
Yeah, exactly. And
We
JJ,
do have
people
great
on the
questions. I was looking at them last night and I thought, you just have really smart people in your community. Not
I
to sound
know.
like a suck up, but
No, I
honestly,
know.
they are.
I know.
They're awesome.
And sometimes the things that they know when you start talking to them, I can't. I'm in shock at how well versed and how
It's so
deep some
nice.
of their knowledge is. I know.
Love them.
Must be, especially for you.
Yeah, it's so great. It is so great because I still remember like the first time I started doing a lot of TV and people were like, "Well, what's radicchio?" I'm like, "Uh-oh."
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah, that
no.
was
Yeah.
way back.
I better back up. I know exactly. All right, so it is time, and if you are joining us, welcome. It's our first Q&A session with Jackie and JJ, and we have an operator who will take your questions, Leilani, and she will teach you exactly how to submit a question if you're live. So what we usually do is we go over a couple of the submitted questions first, answer those, and then we will start to take your live questions. So, number one, and pardon me, I sneezed a couple times. I don't have a cold at all. I don't know
Yeah, you're
what
not
just
allowed
got.
to be sick. That's just like lame when,
I know, and I'm not. I don't know what just got in my nose. And I just had green tea. It's not like anything, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, she
All right,
just
so
was chowing down on a pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and the
That'd be
team
nice.
people relate to me saying that. They just I
Hey,
relate to Jackie when she says, "I just want some pizza." All right, so the
we're
first.
real here, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
exactly.
There's no Miss Perfect on this phone.
Yeah, I love exactly. So the first question is, M. Andrew asks, "Can I eat organic canned tomatoes? Do any?" I guess
Well,
we
let's
should say
start
if
with
these
one by
are
one because we kind of
exactly.
threw a whole bunch.
Yes.
No. No, M. Andrews, you can't. Here's the deal with organic canned tomatoes. And it's funny, I was reading this article in Prevention, and it was like, the top 10 foods the health doctors will never eat. Number one, canned tomatoes. And here's why. Because the acidic nature of the tomatoes leaches that nasty lining off the cans. So you got to get jarred tomatoes. That's why if I use marinara sauce, I mean, I'm not making my own marinara sauce, okay? I think you could figure that out with me
Yeah,
by
I'm
now.
not either.
There's
Right. I get it
no
in the
chance.
glass
Yeah.
jar. Right. Or
Pepper, but you could.
the that those they come in those boxes now. You know, like
Yeah.
those tomatoes as well as
Yeah, I
the
wonder
glass
about those
jars.
boxes. I hate to say it because I think they got
Okay.
going. Anyway, I don't know. So the bottom line is glass is going to be the best option that you can do, and that's so easy to find. I mean, most of them are in glass jars. for that reason. So go glass, okay? Do any prescriptions interfere with this cleanse? Does weight loss medicine interfere with the cleanse? So here's the thing with prescriptions. Prescriptions, first off, if you have to be on prescriptions, stay on your prescriptions, all right?
Right.
Please stay on your prescriptions.
And talk to your doctor. I have to say that really quick.
You have
always
to.
Consult with your physician. And if
always,
you don't have a good
always.
Relationship, ask anyway.
Yeah, and if you don't have a good relationship, darn it, go get a new one.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Really, you're paying that person. Let's be
exactly.
real.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've gotten those two issues out of the way. You always have to talk to your doctor. We're never going to tell you to get off a medication. What I am going to warn you about, though, as you go on this cleanse or any type of thing where you're doing something that's going to help with fast fat loss, reducing inflammation, right, is that if you're on something like a blood pressure medication or something for diabetes, you may find that you need less. So you really want to be talking to your doctor and monitoring it, which is a great thing. Right? Now, remember, every prescription medication has to be handled by the liver. So, you know, they all make your liver work a little bit harder. So one of the things that will happen here is if you are taking the detox nutrient packs, they have such good liver support. In my mind, everyone who's on medication should be on detox, you know, liver support formulas because your liver has to work harder to deal with the medications. So actually, you know, it shouldn't, the prescription should not interfere with the cleanse. In fact, the cleanse nutrients should support your body being able to detoxify the prescriptions, the metabolites of the prescriptions. Okay. And as far as weight loss medicine interfering with the cleanse, I'm not sure which one you're on right now. So I wish I could get, if you happen to be listening in and you can tell us which weight loss medicine, nothing's going to interfere with the cleanse. I guess my bigger question would be, what are you on and why? You know, most of these, it's hard for me to know because I don't know what the mechanism is. So I'd more want to know which one are you on and why. Because I always try to do things naturally, like if you're on an appetite suppressant, I'm going to look at using appetization and satiocin and fiber and eating by the clock and getting in your clean, lean protein and healthy fats first. You know, there are those people, though, Jackie, as we know with genetic testing, that just have a big appetite. And, you know, of course, you want to try to do everything you can nutritionally, lifestyle-wise first. But if you're just one of those people who's got, like, it's some variants in the DRD2 and FDO genes, and you're just hungrier than the average bear, you know what? It's just not fair. And those people may benefit from a little bit of a medication. You always have to look at risk-reward because, you know, which is worse, being obese or having little bit of a side effect from a medication? Well, if that's the only thing that's going to work for you, I'm sorry, being obese is far worse, and let's get you on the meds, okay? So maybe that's not very holistic, but I think the number one thing is to get you healthy, and it's a stepwise fashion where you try to do it with diet and lifestyle nutrients first, and then you start to use what you need to use. I mean, don't ignore Western medicine if it can help you. Okay.
Does everything I eat have to be organic?
No. You know, here's what you want to use. You want to go to EWG.org, that's environmentalworkinggroup.org, because they're going to give you what they call the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. There are certain foods that you really want to go for because they're so overly sprayed and they soak up the toxins. And those are the ones that you want to make sure that you're getting the clean, Dirty Dozen, that you're getting organic. And those are things like strawberries and celery, and you'll see that list. Then there's the Clean 15 and things like avocados. You know, it tends to be things that have a big, thick skin because it's harder for those pesticides to get in. But look at what they list there and make the point where they talk about the Dirty Dozen, those ones that are really heavily sprayed and really absorb the pesticides. Go organic there. And what I'd say is you always want to do the best you can in every possible situation, right?
And also, if it does seem to be too expensive, that list will really help fray your costs. Okay, I really just love spinach. I have to have it, you know, and so you can figure that out based on that list. So
yeah, and
that,
I want to
what
just
was that again? What
shout
was that
out EWG.org. I want to shout out there that it's a great thing to go to your farmer's market or see if you've got a local CSA collective where you can find out what they've got there and how they're doing their farming. They may not be certified organic because it's expensive to do, Like everything's a racket. However,
right, yes, you know, right. But they might basically be organic. I've
right.
talked to so many farmers exactly about this. So that's a great point.
Yeah. So I would really get to know those because, man, you can save a lot of money doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The next one, can you explain about every time I eat, my blood sugar rises? I'm reading that exactly
the way it is.
and why I can only eat every 4 to 6 hours.
Okay, here's the deal. When you eat, part of what's going to happen is otherwise, if this wasn't the case, you would never have to have a fasting blood test for your blood glucose levels because they would never change.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you wouldn't have to eat because you would just have steady blood glucose. You're getting your blood glucose goes up because you eat. You eat, your blood glucose goes up, your insulin comes up to store those nutrients so that you can use them. And if you have more than what you need, then they get stored as fat. So that's just part of how your body works. And I must guide to Dr. Oz on this, how they, I don't remember, is it called How It Works or Your Body, My Body, The Body?
I don't know.
There's something like Your Body. Or the owner's manual or something.
You the owner's manual. You on a diet, you the owner's manual.
Okay.
Yes.
You the owner's manual describes like all these processes in your body. That's just how your body works. So here's the deal. Some people will need to eat more often initially if they've got hypoglycemia, if they've got burned out adrenals, if they've got insulin resistance. But ideally, if your body's working well, you should be able to, and you hit a hormonal winter with what you eat, meaning you ate from the plate, you had clean, lean protein, healthy fat, low glycemic, high fiber, slow release carbs, and loads of non-starchy vegetables, you should be able to go 4 to 6 hours. Now, if you're someone who is trying to put on weight, muscle weight, not fat weight. I really have never met someone except when we're getting them ready for a movie, you know, where they're like, I have to get fat, okay? But if you're someone who's looking to put on muscle, I have you eat every 4 hours. And that person might have, you know, breakfast at 7, lunch at 11, another meal at 3, and another meal at 7, and I divide their 3 meals into 4. But for most of us, we're not really out there as, you know, big elite athletes. And so breakfast at 7 and lunch at 12, 1 and dinner at 6, 7 is fine. If you do need that afternoon snack, go ahead. But remember, you want to really keep your blood sugar as stable and steady as possible. So you want to eat in a way that controls, the way we have you eating, you've got a push between two hormones, one that helps release free fatty acids and one that helps build and store fat. So a storage and a releasing hormone build the glucagon and insulin so that it helps just keep everything steady, everything stable. But if you go too long without eating, your blood sugar will drop again. That will trigger stress hormones. That will break down muscle, drop sugar in the bloodstream, pump sugar up. So you'll feel very bad, like low blood sugar. And if you don't go and feed it, your body will like feed itself by breaking down muscle. So that's why it's the 4 to 6 hour time span. Okay.
Yeah.
As usual, it's like question one and it's been an hour. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no. Is there such thing as organic fish?
Well, all fish is organic.
Right. I was about to say that.
I was like, although I was out taping that Discovery Health show and there was, I'm like one of those things, I was like, why didn't I get a picture of this? There was a mailbox with the big fake fish on it, and that would be a non-organic fish. However, for us, all fish are organic. It's how they've been raised. And now just to complicate the issue, there is, of course, wild fish is what we're really looking for, but we're looking for wild, smaller fish because, you know, one of the things with toxins, biotoxins accumulate the bigger the fish is, right? So you want to eat wild, small fish. Now, turns out that there's some farming going on because, you know, we were like, no farming, because a lot of the fish farms put fish in very close captivity. Because they were in such close captivity, they had to give them antibiotics so that they wouldn't get each other sick, and then they were injecting them with testosterone to make them uber fish, and then they were feeding them wrong things for fish, like soy. I mean, soy for fish.
And corn. And they're
corn.
Also feeding them corn
GMO.
Now. Yep.
GMO.
Yep.
GMOs. To
exactly.
Corn. So the challenge with that is now you got fish being fed non-indigenous pro-inflammatory foods. So now you're changing their whole fatty acid profile. And then they were dyeing the salmon pink because they were gray. I mean, it was like it just gets worse and worse. Frankenfish. Turns out now that some of the fish farms are becoming like cool fish farms. Like, there was a name for it on the menu because I actually was at dinner with Dr. Amon the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had the salmon that was from this, like, groovy fish farm, and they described the whole thing about how they did it, and it was, like, consciously raised and fed the right food and, you know,
and not
loved on
fun,
and,
right.
and put to bed early.
Oh,
you know.
Pet at night.
Yeah.
Like, make sure
like
all
the Kobe
fish
beef.
Are down.
Yeah, they meditated, they did yoga, and they took the vitamins.
Oh.
So,
that's such a great visual.
And then we
fish.
Slaughtered them and ate them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
I
should be laughing.
Geez.
So bad.
I know, I'll probably get pinged for that. It's like I always seem to get in trouble. It's like, come on,
yeah, but
I'm kidding.
The bottom line is you want to stick with wild fish, you know, and they're all
unless
all
unless you know about the farm they're being raised
yeah,
in. Now, if
exactly.
you if you're somewhere and they're like, oh, here's what it is. That's different. And I think that's
right.
going to be the next generation because, face it, in order for us to survive as a people and be able to eat the way we're eating, that's the only way we're going to be able to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. And also to clarify or to build on what you said about small fish, like, to, you know, the non-predator fishes, to big tuna is a big predator fish. So, you know, they're obviously have a lot more mercury in them. So when JJ's saying smaller fish, you want to get that list too.
Yeah, and boy, if you'll do it, I mean, I'm going to say this, but there's no way I'm doing it. I'm too afraid. But if you will eat sardines, you're my hero. And go.
I love sardines. I love sardines.
Oh.
Can you imagine? I love my mom just grew up eating them, and I just love them.
Wow. I've honestly never tried them because my dad used to eat them, and I was so afraid. So maybe one night you and I will do some sardines together.
I know. They do stink up your house if you happen to get sardines, and your kids are like, what is that smell?
Yeah.
I don't want to eat anything.
I'm going to give you sardines and Brussels sprouts tonight, dear.
just a warning. And then the last question here, Boar's Head natural turkey deli meat. I happen to know Boar's Head has wheat in it, gluten in it. A lot of these cold cuts have
it said gluten-free on their website.
Half the time, and you have to 100% ask because, and the only reason I know this is because everyone knows my husband has so many wheat issues. So much of the deli meat has gluten in it, and maybe they changed it recently, so I could be wrong. So just always check.
I did see that it said gluten-free on the website. However, I didn't see anywhere that it was, like, you know, fed correctly. So I go and get it from usually some of the different health food markets, Whole Foods, Jimbo's, Henry's.
Applegate, I think,
yeah.
Is
Applegate,
a brand.
Applegate's great. Trader Joe's has some great ones. So you're just gonna have to sniff around on that. But I don't believe Boar's Head, unfortunately, is one of the ones. Although they did have gluten free on their website, but I couldn't find anywhere like the whole like organic
right.
side of it.
And, so. And this is a good point because the question says a local grocery store has all natural. This is the biggest thing in this cleanse is to start to read things with a critical eye. What does all natural
mean?
Yeah,
how could a peach not be all natural?
Right, exactly. So that's just to keep that in mind. So we'll go to the next question, and then we'll take live questions with Leilani. A lot of people are so shy, or not shy, whatever, don't mean to say that. They just don't want to ask live questions. They just more want to listen, so we might not have any, and we'll just keep banging through these. So from Tracy, why do you recommend coconut milk? I read it might not be heart-friendly. A lot of people have submitted this over the years, JJ. What alternatives do I have for cream and milk in my coffee once the cleanse is over? Can you recommend anything? Oh, okay.
Okay,
let's, we'll do
question.
That, and then we'll
first
go to the
off,
next one.
Gosh, we have got to get this misinformation about coconut.
I know.
Out. It's making me
and we
insane.
Do. We have literally sent articles out to the entire community about coconut milk, and, you know, sometimes you just miss it. So
let's talk about why people think coconut milk's not good. They think it's not good because it
the
is
fat.
A saturated fat. Okay, saturated fat is not the issue. The issue is fat that's been saturated incorrectly. So when you've got fat, so if you've got naturally saturated fat, coconut, palm fruit oil, it's fine. And in fact, the fat from coconut is heart healthy because The fat contains medium chain triglycerides, which are immediately burned as fat in your body, and it's rich in antiviral and antibacterial fatty acids that reduce the risk of a second heart attack, because there's a whole viral component for heart attacks. So that's the second piece. But what you have to avoid are fats that have been artificially saturated. They're called hydrogenated or trans fats. And so those ones are, you know, anytime you see something that says partially hydrogenated, that's what it is. That's what you have to be careful of.
So glad you said that. And, you know, what alternatives do I have for cream, milk, and my coffee once the cleanse is over?
Well, remember,
coconut
we're
going to see great.
Once the cleanse is over how well. Here's the deal with dairy. How well do you handle dairy? Some people might be able to work it back into their diet and have some organic cream in their coffee, although I think coconut milk works out great there. If you find, though, if you struggle with skin issues at all, it's just not going to be a great thing for you. Man, I mean, you know, it's like we have a little dairy, we have a zit.
Yep.
So,
yep,
it's
immediate.
Like, boom, immediate. It's the next day you wake up and you're like, oh. And it's not a zit that's gone the next day either. It's a zit that
nope.
hangs out going, you ate dairy, you ate dairy, you ate dairy, you know.
You bad girl.
You know. Like,
how could you?
It's just awful. Anyway, so we've got to see how well you handle this. Any skin issues, dairy just really shouldn't be in your future.
And in week three, JJ goes over this very in-depth. So when you get week three class, you will hear exactly how you're going to introduce things back in to see how you're affected. So you'll be able to get a lot more information about this.
Yeah, because if you can handle dairy, a little organic cream is what I would do. But if you can't handle dairy, I mean, coconut, the full-fat coconut milk, a little bit of that is awesome.
Yeah, that's what that would be my choice. Can you recommend anything for help with menopausal symptoms, hot flashes, night sweats, et cetera?
Okay, so first off, for menopause, you want to make sure your thyroid is working well. And Dr. Alan Christensen anyway, Google Dr. Alan Christensen. I'm like, I can never remember his website. I think it's myintegrativehealth.com. He wrote The Idiot's Guide to Thyroid Disease. First thing you want to make sure of as you're going into menopause is that, and I just did this yesterday, by the way. I redid my adrenal test. I had my thyroid retested because as you're in that age, which I am, where your hormones are starting to get a little wonky, you really want to make sure that you have good adrenal and thyroid function, because you're really going to have to rely more on that during as you get into perimenopause and menopause. So make sure that you're really nourishing your adrenals, taking care of your thyroid, and Jackie will need to do a call on this for sure.
Yes.
So whole separate
I was
call.
Just thinking that too, because
yeah,
I was thinking
the
there's
list.
No way.
On the list.
Yeah, we'll go in depth
thing.
With that.
Now, you know, as far as you go from there, honestly, the minute my hormones drop, I'm running straight to one of my girlfriends I've got all these amazing bioidentical hormone women, and I'm going straight over to one of them who's Oprah, did all the Oprah stuff, and who's Suzanne Summerstock. I'm turning myself loose with her. But there's a couple different choices. You can do bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. I saw a question on here about someone who was doing that. If you are doing that, do make sure that you are getting an Estranex test. Have your doctor run an Estranex test from Metametrics, to look at your estrogen metabolites to make sure that you're metabolizing the bad estrogens well, and that you've got higher of the good and less of the bad. So DIM, or broccoli extract, which you can get from Crucera SGS, is one way to do that. So that's Crucera SGS that we have here. The other thing that I would say is, as you're going into menopause, the couple things that work really well are the MetaFem multivitamin mineral formula from Thorne. And this is women like 40 plus, okay? And this is the one, by the way, that I've been using lately, is the MetaFem Multi. And then I take, in addition to that, the MetaBalance, which is, you know, helps with really kind of helping to balance your hormones as much as possible. Remember, if you're going into menopause, you are going to have, your hormones are going to start to come down, okay? So the only way to keep your hormones up is to give you the natural hormone. But if you can, get your adrenals as healthy as possible. Make sure your thyroid's working well because it's the master regulator of everything. Give yourself any herbal relief that can help with balancing as much as possible. You basically want to stall out menopause as long as possible. Then as you're going through it, consider natural hormone replacement therapy. But also one of the biggest things you start to see during menopause is that your sleep just gets trashed because cortisol comes up. It's the only hormone that comes up during menopause and wrecks your sleep. So you want to start thinking of things like 5-HTP and melatonin and Cetaplus. You know, we have that sleep package to help
yes.
you too. So, and that's another call we should do. So, like, write down, and what I want to tell everyone on the call is that we're really looking at starting a whole educational series of calls and programs that you can
mm-hmm.
use. And so I'm hearing here that maybe one for, like, the 40-plus women.
Yes,
and then,
100%.
Yay!
Completely
yes.
nails it. Yeah, that absolutely.
yes, so we'll work on that. But anyway, but I would right now for menopausal symptoms, hot flashes, night sweats, you know, definitely look for a bioidentical hormone replacement doctor. BodyLogic MD is a great group that I work with. And then I would also look at using the MetaBalance and the MetaFem from.
I think we'll put together a package so that everybody
yeah.
can get
that
easily.
And if you are on hormone replacement therapy, either use the Crucera SGS supplement or use the MetaClear SGS that's got it in there, the chocolate shake that I'm completely
yes.
addicted to.
Yep. Someone just ordered that.
Oh, it's so good. Have you tried it yet? Oh, you're not.
I haven't tried it. I know. I can't believe it. I still have my shakes. So I said, as soon as I'm done with this, that's the next thing I'm going to order. Okay, so Leilani, do we have anyone who would like to ask a live question? Actually, you haven't even given the directions yet, so I'll pause while you explain how to do that.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press *0. Again, that's *0 if you have a question.
Okay, so we'll go to the next question, and then we'll go to if we have some live questions. So Bonnie asks, I've been on HRT for a year and a half now. I'm on allergy meds daily. I have constant sinus infections, and I'm finishing up a round of antibiotics. Will this affect my weight loss? I feel better, but I've had no weight loss yet. Now,
yeah.
this probably most likely was sent in at least, 3 to 4 days ago, so I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
Okay, and that, okay, not sure why that
like
matters.
No, because she said, I feel better but no weight loss yet. She
okay.
sent in 3 to 4 days, so she might have had weight loss by now, but I don't know.
All right. Oh, but I love this question so much. Thank you for asking it, Bonnie. Here's the deal. So with everything going right, you should start to see weight loss immediately, like within a day or two when you pull out the foods that are holding your health hostage. And again, then as we start to step into exercise, if you're not seeing that happen and we've now shifted your body, your meal composition, your timing, taken the food down, and you're still and taking out the reactive foods and you're not seeing weight loss, I always go to some of the different areas that can be creating weight loss resistance. One of the biggies is hormone imbalance, and you're on HRT, but I don't know what kind of HRT you're on. Depending on the type of HRT you're on, whether you're cycling, non-cycling, bioidentical or not, it can actually make you more insulin resistant and make you hold on to or store fat. So part of it is making sure that you are on the right bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, that it's working and supporting you losing fat and holding on to or building muscle. Okay, because the wrong type will make you store more fat. Number two, I don't know if you've always been on allergy medications and had constant sinus infections or if this is new, but of course, allergy medications can just zap your energy, so there's that issue. I would also look for someone with chronic allergy medication, chronic allergy symptoms. I'm going to look at adrenal function and see how your adrenals are doing, because you should be able to support reducing allergy symptoms with your adrenal health. But also, and I've got to look this up as we're talking to make sure I get the right name for it, there's an amazing product at Thorne that even if you are on allergy medications, you can take with it that's going to help you tremendously And so when you think about allergies, I want you to think of quercetin and vitamin C. So you want to take extra vitamin C. I'd be doing 2 grams a couple times a day. Space it out because it's water-soluble, only lasts in your system really up to 12 hours. So at least twice a day, 2 grams. Also, that's very good for your adrenals anyway. But I'd also look at quercetin's a natural antihistamine, so it can help you hear big time. And so one of the things I would look at is using something called QC nasal spray. Amazing homeopathic medicine with quercetin in it that is so great for allergies. And I would also look at taking additional quercetin. And one of the ones that I really like is using this quercinase. So I'm saying all these things here, Jackie. So vitamin C, QC nasal spray, quercinase. And whenever I do this, you're like, oh, my gosh.
Luckily, it's transcribed, and we can put this together.
Bromelain helps as an anti-inflammatory and also helps your body absorb quercetin. And quercetin, again, stabilizes mast cells that store and release histamine. So it works as a great antihistamine. So those two things you can do, and maybe that'll allow you to reduce the amount of the medication that you need. Also, of course, fish oils are going to be another great anti-inflammatory there as well. Now, here's the other part of the question. So you're on antibiotics, and antibiotics, as we know, are just like do what I call scorched earth. They go in and they just get rid of everything. So they're getting rid of the bad bacteria, good, but they're getting rid of the good bacteria, bad, okay? Because you don't want too much of the bad bacteria because that can lead to something called SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And when you have too much of that, it actually causes you to extract more calories from the food you eat and store them as fat. Nightmare. So what you must make sure of is if you've been doing a round of antibiotics, for every round of antibiotics, I think you need to be on probiotics for at least 3 months. And I look at, definitely at least 3 months. And ideally, you'd check your gut flora at that point through a stool test and decide what to do from there. But the one I'm loving now is this new one that came out with Thorne called Floramend Prime. So it's incredible. So that's what I would tell you to be doing is I would do 2 of those a day for 3 months to rebuild after that. Because, yes, all those things you're going on, all of those things are going to impact weight, all of them.
Okay. Leilani, do we have any live questions? And thank you for waiting patiently. I think we're about 27 minutes in.
Yes, we do. Our first question comes from Anna. Anna, go ahead.
Hi, this is Ina. I have a couple of questions. First is I'm wondering, what's the significance of the 14 days? Is it just kind of around 2 weeks? Is there any physiological kind of piece to that?
Yes. Is that the only question, or is there more to it?
That's the only piece to that. I was just wondering kind of what the significance of that was. And then the other piece, I was wondering if you could talk a little more about that cleansing cycle. I found that so interesting. So is that something that, you know, the phase one, phase two, is that going on continually? Like, when do we start?
We hope it is. It better be. It's a continuous thing, but a lot of people are what we call, I can't remember the name, but they're poor phase two detoxifiers. And so what happens is they're really good at phase one, and they're crappy at phase two, which means they can free them up, but they can't get them out. And they then start rolling around your body, creating more oxidative stress and inflammation, et cetera. So those should be working back and forth, hand in hand all the time. Now, as far as the 14 days is sort of the minimal amount of time to pull foods out. And when you see how we go back through the rechallenge, you'll see the way I did it is to give us more time with some of the more reactive foods when you retest. What happens when you eat a food that your body is not handling well, you know, if you're eating a food your body reacts to, you produce antibodies to the antigens and the protein of that food. We're reacting to the protein in that food.
Yeah.
And so you produce an antibody to that, which then gloms on, and the antibodies are specific to the proteins in that food. The antibodies for chicken are different than the antibodies for eggs, for example. So you create an antibody to that, and that antibody then gloms on to the antigen to create an immune complex. Oh, when you start pulling that food out, initially, you are going to feel worse, not better, because you've got these antibodies sitting around waiting for the antigens, and when they don't get them, they're like, hey, hand them on over. And so you actually, and I warned Jackie about this, because the first time we did this cleanse, there were some really crabby people calling customer service. I go,
absolutely.
I told you. I told you they were going to do it. To me, I think it's great, because if you're having those responses, we know what kind of great, amazing results you're going to get because you've been reacting to those foods. Every day, like it takes 3 to 5 days to get through that part, and that part's horrid, honestly. I hate it. But
yeah.
Then once you get through that, all of a sudden you're like, wow. I contend that most people have no idea what it feels like to feel great. And all of a sudden you're going, I cannot believe how great I feel. And then at this point you're starting to get rid of the immune complexes and the antibodies, because your body's like, okay, the macrophages can now get rid of the immune complexes, so we don't have that buildup as much, so your symptoms are starting to go down, and your body's not producing those antibodies because they're going, oh, the food's not coming in. If you eat the food during that time, and that's why you cannot cheat, your body goes, here it comes again and starts reproducing all those antibodies again. It takes 2 weeks at the least amount, but really ideally 3 or 4 weeks for you to really get that antibody load down. And sometimes it takes as long as 3 or 6 months. But I find that after a couple weeks, if we've kept the food out, we can re-challenge and see how you react to it. Because for some of the foods, you might go, oh, I didn't really notice anything. But quite often you eat it and you're like, either like have a zit the next day, or the first time I ate eggs, I was doubled over in pain. I can eat eggs periodically now, but it took me 6 months to get rid of the antibodies. So it's going to depend on you, but that's sort of the least amount of time.
And Dina, did you have another question or?
No, the other part was just about the cycle. So in terms of, pretty much, when does like phase one start, right? So
it's
is it
all
any
the time.
Time?
We're always
okay.
Detoxifying. If
okay.
we weren't always detoxifying, honest to God, in this world we live in, we would be dead. You know? I mean, think about it. So we are always detoxifying, we hope. But, you know, if someone goes on one of those wacko juice cleanses or master cleanses, they can shut down phase two. I mean, if someone goes on a fast, phase two shuts down. So these things can really...
I just want you to repeat that, because some people really still think, well, let me just, if I eat fewer calories, they're still thinking in terms of calories. If you start fasting, the whole phase two of this entire process shuts down, and that's the worst thing you can think for your body, because the toxins are swimming around in your system, having absolutely no elimination. So I just wanted to reiterate that.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Dina. That was. I'm so glad that you asked that, because I know that a lot of people like more clarification with that process.
Great. Thanks.
Leilani, do we have another question, or should we go on to the next one?
No, we have a couple more questions. Okay. Our
Great.
Next question comes from Shauna. Shauna, go ahead.
Yes. Hi. I am just starting this cleanse today because I just got my stuff. And I have an adjustable gastric band. And I'm finding that I started drinking my shake this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still drinking it because it's very hard for me to keep the whole thing down.
Yeah.
Unless I drink it very slowly. Is that okay to drink it slowly, or?
You have to.
Yeah.
Okay, so for what you're doing, what we need to do is we need to shift you a bit, and you will have to do smaller, cut your shakes into 2 or 3 portions. You will have to, with what you've got going, you have to eat less.
Okay, so 2
eat
portions
less, more
actually
often.
Be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if I just had one shake per day?
Well, you might have to, and let's see how hungry you are, right?
Uh-huh.
Because what we might need to do is have you eat every 4 hours.
And I see.
So
okay.
Maybe you'd make a shake and a half, and then a smaller meal. And so you'd have like a shake at, say, 7, 11, 3, and then a smaller dinner at 7.
Okay. That makes, yeah, because I really found out right away that it was
No. You don't want to do that. Mm-mm. I actually, on one of my reality shows, I had to show what happens when you overfill the area.
Yes.
and so I'm well aware because we had someone who was doing, I was like, you can't do that.
No.
You know, so, yeah.
Kind of like an explosion.
it was an explosion. I mean, we did it as a graphic all over the kitchen, but it was like, you know, we don't want that in your body.
No,
for sure.
Definitely don't. The other thing is that I am taking, I want to do the metabolic booster support.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not clear on how you take those.
The instructions when you order that, you will get a confirmation message right away, and
okay.
It tells you exactly what the instructions are.
Okay.
And if you have any questions at all, you can just email cleanse@puretrainer.com, and they'll tell you the exact. You know, it's all written right there for you.
Okay, thank you. That's
absolutely.
It for me.
Well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
And Leilani, do we have another question?
Yes, we do. We have one left. Our next question is Linda. Linda, go ahead.
Thank you. My question is about multivitamins or supplements during the cleanse. Should I be taking a multivitamin?
It depends now. If you are using the MetaClear SGS shake instead of the Vagalite, you probably have it covered. But if not, I think everybody should take a multivitamin, mineral, antioxidant, essential fatty acid formula like the daily nutrient packs every day, twice a day, forever.
Okay.
The cheapest form of health assurance out there, right? So it's just absolutely, I got to tell you, I do a lot of nutrient deficiency testing. It is rare for me to find someone who's getting everything they need, and most of the people who seem to be my clients are other healthcare professionals who are already doing stuff, right? So if you're already on them, I'd love to see you stay on them, yes. And if you aren't on them and you want to add daily nutrient packs into the mix, great, because it's just going to help. The reason that we haven't put those in as an essential is that, honestly, it really depends. I kind of like to meet people where they are. And for someone who's kind of coming in and they've been not into this at all, I don't want to overwhelm them completely, you know.
I'm glad you set it up that way because it can be overwhelming. You're always hearing about supplements and suddenly you're flooded with all these new things, and it's good to just take baby steps in there.
Yes, I like to get the nose, the camel, and the tent.
Mm-hmm. And I think you, because a lot of people do write into our cleanse team about this, I would love for you, JJ, you've said this before, but just to talk about what kind of multivitamin, because some people really, you know, buy them at Costco. Costco's a great store. I'm not saying that it's not.
Yeah, buy your toilet paper at Costco. Here's the deal. You know, we're not bashing Costco. We're really saying with specific things, I would rather you take less higher quality supplements. You'd be better off. There's one thing I just want you to be so aware of, and it's funny because Thorne has now decided they are going to be the anti-mag stearate company. And so the number one thing I want you to look for and make sure you're not getting in your supplements is magnesium stearate, because it throws a curveball into your supplements and shifts your body's ability to absorb the nutrients. It throws in what I call like a variable where you won't really know. Because when you have mag stearate, which is used in most of the supplements out there, you're going to see magnesium stearate or stearic acid used as a flow agent. It's not needed. The reason they use it is it allows the supplement to be mixed in the machine at a much higher speed so they can make a lot more faster. And it doesn't take much to mess up the absorption, like 1%. Just a little bit. And I've seen the difference in manufacturing plants using mag stearate or not. The mag stearate manufacturing plants, the machines are humming, they're fast, there's no powder around. I went to visit Thorne and it's like powder everywhere because, you know, when you don't have that flow agent, things, you're going to have more powder around, but you have better bioavailability. When you have magnesium stearate or stearic acid, you can impact absorption anywhere from 25 to 75%. Talk about expensive supplements. If somewhere between 25%, you know what I mean? But you know what was so amazing to me, and I don't know if it was the lactose I was getting in another supplement's vitamin D, which was a professional-grade supplement, or if it was the mag stearate, but I'd always had GI issues, and people would say, oh, supplements hurt my stomach. And I would look at them and go, no, they don't, you know. And I was like, well, maybe in fact they were, because of all the mag stearate that, you know, at some point it starts to build up. Some of my naturopathic doctor friends were like, because they're really adamant about no mag stearate. They're like, you know, we don't know. We don't know really how it responds in the body. So that's the first thing I would look at. And I think once you decide Nomag stearate or stearic acid, it's going to rule out most of the supplements. And then the next thing I want you to say is no tablets. Same thing. They're compressed under a load of pressure and then shellacked. So
it's a process. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're not broken down well in your body. I mean, a lot of times we see them in septic tanks all the way through, you know. So if you make those two decisions, it's going to rule out a lot of stuff. You say, I always want capsules, and I don't want magstearate or stearic acid. And then you really want to, I believe that you should only buy professional-grade supplements sold through healthcare professionals. And then within those brands that are only professional-grade, I only know of two companies that don't use magstearate, so it kind of gets it pretty easy. You know, there's
it makes everything so much easier anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad that you clarified that, though, because people, I I'm the same way. I'm always looking for ways that I can save money on certain things.
Well, who
things,
isn't?
I know.
But, you know, if you're not absorbing the nutrients, you're not saving money. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, geez,
this
come
is on. This is the one area that just, it's just not about taking the shortcuts.
Well, and then also things like fish oils, right, where you need to make sure that they've been tested for heavy metals.
Mm-hmm.
That they were fished from smaller fish, and that also they've tested for oxidation. So, I mean, that's really not one to mess with. I used to, and, you know, then I kind of went, I don't have to do this anymore. I used to, you know, I've spent years going in and teaching doctors how to put nutrition in their practice. And so one of the things I always used to teach them was how to identify rancid fish oil, because most of the fish oil I saw out there was rancid. Right? And so I would go bite in and took the capsule, and I kind of went, I'm not doing this anymore. This is disgusting. You know, but if you're so inclined to bite into your fish oil, you will be able to tell pretty quickly that it's nasty, rancid. I mean, it's like you can tell immediately. It shouldn't be tasting, stinking, anything else. So, I mean, that's the other one. Gosh, don't cheap out on your fish oil. I mean,
and those daily nutrient packs, I was really shocked to find out that the fish oil was already included, and I was so happy that it was already included, that I didn't have to go to another extra thing to
take
them.
That's because I designed those packets. They have my favorite antioxidant in them. I mean, I did. The first thing I did when I started to work with Thorne,
I saw
like,
the antioxidant. I know. I was wondering. I said, never seen a daily nutrient pack like this. So
why has this got everything? And so, you know, hey, what I tell you is, it's got everything JJ says.
It even has glutamine. I mean, I was just in shock. Like,
but here's the other thing
covering.
You'll see in there is that it also, it doesn't just have fish oil. It's got EPA, DHA, and GLA. Because I find a lot
I
of people
that.
Take fish oil and they get deficient in GLA. And GLA is so important for good hair, skin, and nails and reducing inflammation, important for diabetes and insulin sensitivity. So to me, I'd rather see someone take one of those daily nutrients packs a day than two caca ones. And yes, I just said that.
I'm so glad you clarified that. So the next one, we just have so many questions. I definitely don't
I know. Well, you know, we have another call, though,
Jeopardy
scheduled
font.
Next.
True. Yes.
I mean, I looked
19th.
At that one. Why do we have one scheduled so soon? But now I know why. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The next one, Aaron wants to ask a poop question. What if you are noticing undigested food?
Okay. So first of all, let's talk about good digestion. Because you're going to notice some things like corn. However, we pulled corn out. So if you're seeing corn in your poop, stop eating the corn. Now, beyond that, if you're noticing undigested food, first thing I want you to make sure is that you're taking time with your meals. You are chewing, 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 chewing. Because a lot of times when we see undigested food in the stool, in fact, the stool tests I look at, the first thing they say is make sure patient is chewing, right? So, you know, chewing's important. So chew. And secondly, make sure you're not drinking a lot of water with your meals, limit it to 8 ounces. Stop drinking water 30 to 60 minutes before your meal. Don't start again for an hour afterwards. Take time with your meal. Slow down. You know, if you're eating fast and you're stressed out, that's going to impair digestion and lower stomach acid. And then also, man, take digestive enzymes. Now, plant enzymes are a great, just comprehensive enzyme that's going to help with fat, protein, and carbohydrate digestion. If you need just straight protein digestion, I'm going to use either BPP or Biogest. And then if you're someone who doesn't digest fat well, kind of how do I know if someone's not digesting protein well? Generally, they'll tend to have rosacea. If they eat steak, this is how I knew it was me. one of those people who ate steak and I felt like a snake. It was like it just sat there and sat there and sat there and sat there, you know. I just felt full for hours. So I wasn't digesting protein well, which is most people would do better taking taking enzymes, especially if you're over the age of 30 or under any kind of stress whatsoever. And I kind of, once I say those two things, I'm wondering where those people are that don't fit into one of those categories.
Right, I know.
Right?
It's
like the only people who shouldn't do
this. If you don't have stress, I want to meet you.
Yeah, it's like, who are you? The only people who shouldn't do that are people who have ulcers and that you need to talk to your doctor. But if you are one of those people who has got, like, oil slicks happening in the toilet where you see little, like, oily residue, you're slicking up the toilet, that kind of stuff. Sorry to be gross on that, but, you know, that's basically what it is. You should be taking things to help your body digest fat better. And one of the ones I like, and I believe it's called lipoprotein. I'm looking to make sure that's the name of it in my little book, but I believe it's called lipoprotein. We'll make darn sure. Yes. And it's a lipotropic formula that helps with bile flow, helps with healthy fat metabolism. And it's got methionine and choline and dandelion. So that's one of the things that I'll do too. But plantzyme or Biogest are two of the comprehensive enzymes. It's just kind of whether you want a totally vegetarian formula or you want one with things like ox bile that work really well, but some people get wonky with. But that's what I would say to do. And again, the first strategy when I see something like that is to make sure that you're chewing.
And the next one from Lori, for the first time that I can remember, I feel in control of my eating. Oh, that must be a great feeling. I'm doing fine with the two shakes a day in one meal. I don't have any cravings. I'm not hungry. Today I had a late lunch, chicken salad, rice crackers. Tonight I looked at the clock and it was 8:30. I still wasn't hungry for my second shake. I ended up drinking it because I figured whatever was going on was working. I didn't want to blow it. What do you think about, pardon me, skipping dinner, whether it is a shake or a cooked meal?
So here's the thing that I worry about is that you're going to wake up around 2 a.m. hungry. So, you know, obviously the smallest meal of the day should be dinner. But I find that if you don't eat dinner, then all of a sudden it's like midnight, 1, 2, and you're waking up because you didn't eat, and now you're hungry. And that's a real problem because you didn't eat, your blood sugar crashed, it caused a little reactive hypoglycemia, woke you up, raised your stress hormones, you know, raised your adrenaline to help break down muscle, and you're like, okay, now I need to eat, now you've messed up your sleep. So that's the reason that I would say even if you aren't hungry, have it, but, you know, make it a little bit smaller.
And next one, Donna says, I have to take my diabetes meds early and I need something small. I need some small thing to eat first in the morning. I can't make a shake first thing. Do you have a suggestion as to what I can eat with my meds?
Well, remember, you can eat any meal. Like, we don't have to eat breakfast foods for breakfast, and that's just an important mantra because most breakfast foods are dessert. And that's, I mean, if we, I don't know where we got into this idea to eat these weird little desserty things for breakfast and then eat these things for dinner. It's like all wacky. So you can eat any of the meals for breakfast. And that's the biggest thing I tell you is don't eat breakfast foods for breakfast. You know, go ahead and have what you'd either have, you know, you can always have more of a, like a snack and then your shake a little later. So let's say you had a snack at, say, you know, 7 and a shake at 4. And then, but what I'd really like to see is you have like what you would have had for lunch or dinner for breakfast and then have your two shakes.
And if you have leftovers, you know, sometimes,
yeah,
I mean, I know I'm...
I was with Jackie and she was having a salad. She's all we were at someone's house. So she'd ransacked someone's house. She was in there having a big salad. It was hilarious.
Okay, she kept asking, what do you eat? What do you eat? I'll make you anything. So I said, okay.
All
so the
right,
best
really?
Thing was,
okay.
Is, well, there were leftovers of, and this is a great idea for you, Donna, who asked, there were some sweet potatoes in there. There was a little chicken in there. And I was just throwing everything on top of greens because why not? So, you know, I personally don't care. I don't have those stringent requirements of this is what I eat for breakfast, this is what I eat for lunch. And it's funny because I was just sitting with somebody yesterday who says, wow, I still have those requirements. I can't even think about doing something for dinner that I would for breakfast. And if you're really like that, you know, what are you making for your mid-morning thing, you know, is there something that you can do to just change that belief,
yeah, just
knowing, you know, this
Let's
is going to be better for
it.
Me?
Like, don't
exactly.
overthink it. Just go eat dinner for breakfast.
Yeah. Exactly. And or, you know, I have to say my salads, I love a salad in the morning. It gives me energy. I have the most work that I need to do is right when I wake up.
Yep.
I have so many things on my mind. I need a lot of energy and I need to be extremely focused. So for me, I do a shake at a different time of day. I like the shake, but for some reason, I just love the salad in the morning. It's just my thing. So if you look at it as I've just got to find this, I'm going to feel great afterwards. If you know the why, you can absolutely figure out the how. Is I can't remember who says that all the time, but you'll
think everybody. But you know, I got to tell you, one of the things that I got kind of hooked on for breakfast for a while, because I get hooked on something. I know you do too.
Me too. I'm the same exact way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I was like totally got hooked on pinto beans, refried pinto beans, and then
oh, wow.
sauteed onions and peppers and little pieces of sliced chicken. And it was like every morning I had to have this. I was like hooked, you know. So you
everyone has their,
I know.
Yeah,
we all have our
thing. You'll discover it. I mean, once I was hooked on pico de gallo, you know, which is tomatoes and onions and avocado, and I got these romaine lettuce wraps. But, you know, they were long. They were the romaine lettuce that just came in a box. And I put whatever I had. I put a little shrimp in there. I would put a little chicken in there. I could have eaten that over anything else. I loved it so much. But, I mean, that was for a month and a half, and now it's over. But the next question, so Don, I'm sure after
yes.
all that you'll come on.
Like,
you're already
answer?
Like, okay, I'm going to do it. All right, so the next one, I completed the January 9th New Year's cleanse. Good for you. And I'm starting the spring break cleanse. I just purchased two supplements that JJ suggested, Relora Plus and Lip. I don't know how to pronounce that.
I think
that.
You're hooked on Relora Plus, right? You don't like go anywhere without it.
Oh, I love that. I love a lot of the things I do. I certainly have been sort of shocked at how much I've, you know, really embodied the word supplement to supplement what I do. But anyway, and how do I pronounce this next word?
Lipotropin. That's the one I was telling you about, that if you do need some extra support with fat metabolism, that's your one. So,
okay.
You know, take a good plant enzyme or Biogest and then add lipotropin.
Got it. Okay. So my question is this.
Something easy like helps fat digestion, you know, digestion.
Right. And the question is, and the reason that we're going to answer this here is because we didn't have this package together. This person just decided to just, you know, get these separately. So when's the right time to take these? What's the proper dosage? Do you know exactly what the lipotropin does or how it works?
Sorry. Okay. Yes. Yeah, so what it does, how it works, is that it stimulates bile flow, which is what you need to emulsify the fat. So that's the biggie that it does, is help your body break down, emulsify the fat, right? I mean, that's the most important thing. And I'm wondering how in-depth she wants this.
I think the biggest thing is because she already ordered them, what's the right time to take them? What's the proper dosage?
Okay. So ideally, I would take, you know, start with, you can take one with each meal, see how you feel. You might want to go to two with each meal. With shakes, I think you're fine with one, maybe two with your other meal. But basically, it's really to help. In fact, if anyone's got fatty liver, which we're seeing so much more fatty liver because of high fructose corn syrup, pretty amazing. So anyone
wow.
with fatty liver, anyone with elevated liver enzymes, this could be a great thing for you too. But it improves fat metabolism. It really helps support the liver in being able to metabolize fat and not accumulate fat. And it helps support bile output. Okay. And so, again, I would look at like, ideally before a meal or with a meal three times a day and maybe two with the bigger meal. And if you could take it actually a little before the meal, great, but I would never remember that. So, you know, I'm being honest. It's like the best time to take supplements is when you will. It's kind of like exercise. And,
yes.
And, you know, when I first started with really getting into supplements, I was writing out these whole things. I mean, you should have seen our first supplement guidelines. program because it was before breakfast, with breakfast, in between breakfast and lunch, with lunch, in between lunch and dinner, with dinner, before bed. And no one would ever do it.
Yeah. There's just no way.
No.
I do. Yeah, you got to do it when works for you.
Right.
Whatever.
So
your
I take
is.
my enzymes with meals. I carry enzymes around. I have enzymes in my car. I'm like a total enzyme fanatic. But to be honest with you, with the rest of the stuff, I make one big Dixie cup of it and I drag it around with me. Like I just looked at it right now, going, I need to get into this. I drag it around with me and take it throughout the day because it's the only way I'm going to do it. So
that's what I do. I don't have a Dixie cup, but I have a little baggie, you know, like one of those plastic, you know, sandwich bags.
Yeah. So that's
all right. So awesome. Okay. So next, hi, Jackie and JJ. I've lost 4 pounds so far. That's awesome. For background, for the past 3 years, I've been using Peer Trainer. I'm 57. I weigh 141 pounds today. I started a few years ago. Furman, Dr. Roberta, went to my all-time record high weight of 152 to 131. Then recently, my weight slowly crept back up to 145. I had basically a healthy diet, no processed foods or junk most of my life, but then began a very nutrient-dense, vegetable-based diet and logging on Peer Trainer to lose the weight. My son became type 1 diabetic when he was 9, so it's been many years since our diet focused around carbs. In my mind, carbs really can be the enemy. But I'd still been eating 2 eggs every day as the easiest way. This was me before the cleanse, to get protein, and was using a whey-based smoothie daily. I have stopped these two things. I stopped in the week before I officially began the cleanse, and my skin looked better than it has ever. For everybody listening, the ever is capitalized. I also ate non-fat Greek yogurt a few times a month, an incredible artisan bread with incredible $25 a pound California cowgirl creamery cheese 2 times a month. But other than that, I really didn't eat much meat or anything else awful most of my life. It is heartbreaking to think I might not be able to eat eggs again. They were such
okay, I just want to interject with her on the heartbreaking not to be able to eat eggs again. We won't know. I couldn't eat eggs for about 6 months, and I can eat them now, but you know what I got to tell you? Like, every once in a while, they kind of, if I'm somewhere and that's the only option, I'll eat them, but I don't know. Now I kind of look at them and go, ugh.
Yeah, me too, because I know what they're going to do to me.
Right, but I can handle them.
Exactly.
I can't handle them every day, but I can handle them in little bits, but I look at them now and I'm like, ugh. I don't,
Yeah, I get a clump of I personally get a clump of pimples on my cheek.
Ooh.
It's so gross. Besides wanting to lose weight, I've had a life-changing event last November. My mother, who is 81, still married to my dad for 61 years, wow, healthy, didn't smoke, wasn't overweight, used her treadmill, still played golf, was diagnosed with the rarest, most aggressive form of lymphoma. She was given 2 weeks to live, and she died within 3 weeks. I was with her and watched firsthand how helpless our medical system is in the face of a disease like this, and realized the best solution is to never, ever, ever get cancer in the first place. My mom was a clean freak and used many intense cleaning products, insecticides, and pesticides. I've never even used conventional cleaning products since leaving their home as a teenager, so another reason for doing this cleanse is to really detoxify. I plan to do this once or twice a year going forward. I'm a school teacher in California, so I'll be working tomorrow during the Q&A, but here are my questions. Number one, do radishes, eggplant, red peppers, tomatoes, beets, and parsnips count as green vegetables?
Okay, by green vegetables, we really mean non-starchy vegetables. There's non-starchy
right.
and starchy. So don't think green, think non-starchy. And so I was looking at the going, I think radishes are actually a root, but so radishes, but people don't sit down and eat 20 radishes. They eat some sliced radishes in a salad. So there's glycemic index and glycemic load. Beets, parsnips, radishes and are high glycemic, high fiber, starchy carbs. So you would do the half cup rule there as a serving. And, you know, guys and more athletic people might go up to a cup. For gals, half cup. Tomatoes are actually a fruit. I put them in the high fiber starchy carb category as well. They're a fruit, not a not a vegetable, and they're a high fiber high fiber. They're kind of, I said high glycemic before. They're really moderate glycemic. So beets are a higher glycemic, but you're not probably eating 20 of them. So, and they're so good for you anyway. So radishes and tomatoes and beets and parsnips are high fiber starchy carbs. The rest are non-starchies. And then, is 1/2 cup quinoa okay substitute for 1/2 cup beans? Yes. that would be, you can use for high fiber starchy carbs, you can substitute in any of those things, it's fine. And she said, listen to a recent Q&A, can't remember which one JJ was talking about, borajol or black currant oil for clearing up skin. Both are the same, they both contain GLA. So the one that we've been using is black currant oil, but they're both the same thing. And then I am the same way about almond butter. Why do I crave it so much? I don't know, but I just, last night for dinner, I swear to God, Jackie, I was like,
no.
You know, I got almond butter at the store. I was like, don't buy it. Don't buy it.
Don't buy it.
People
turned
like, oh, we're getting it. We'll be good. So last night for dinner, I had chicken, Brussels sprouts, and almond butter. My family's looking at me like going, really? You know, I'm like, really? So, but just a spoonful. I had a big spoonful of it, but I did. So I don't know. I don't think it's that you're I think it's just a trigger food for some of us, honestly. It's just so darn good. Because almonds, I can totally take or leave. It's the almond butter that just is like, woo. Suggestions for things that crunch besides kale chips and celery. Freeze-dried berries from Trader Joe's are awesome. So,
cucumbers, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm so into cucumbers right now.
Me too. I just love them. And you can scoop out the middle. You can scoop out the seeds, and they're even crunchier, and you can put things in the middle. So you almost use them as a chip in a way, or, you know, or bread, you know, wrap,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, so you can do that. You can also use jicama.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Jicama is so good and so crunchy. And, you know, sometimes when you do onions, when you combine onions and tomato, you know, I was talking about that pico de gallo, that can also give you a crunch going on there.
Oh, me no like the raw onion thing.
I love red onion. I have red onion every single
day. Oh, I like red onion, but I don't like raw white onion.
I don't either. I don't like raw white onion either. But red onion, I can have raw red onion in, I mean, there's an Indian dish of chicken, not tandoori chicken, something anyway that has a little red onion and cilantro. I mean, it's insanely good.
So are there natural ways to raise HGH levels? Yes, sleep, burst training. When you raise lactic acid, you raise growth hormone. Absolutely documented. Glutamine is hypothesized that it helps raise growth hormone. And, of course, protein in the diet raises growth hormone. There you go.
And then I use hormones, testosterone cream.
I actually already answered that one. Supplements
okay.
and diet modifications for the
yes.
side effects of HRT.
Yes.
So I talked about this already. The one thing I'd say is broccoli.
Okay, great.
Okay, what about raw fish, sashimi? It's pure protein. It's actually not pure protein. There's fat in it, but it's good fat. But I know it usually contains tons of parasite eggs. I don't think it usually contains tons of parasite eggs.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It doesn't usually contain tons of parasite eggs. I mean, you can get some parasites in it. That's why they serve it with ginger and wasabi. But I eat sushi. I mean, get really good sushi. That's number one. Eat it with wasabi. That's number two. Try those coconut aminos. They're really amazing. And I take berberine all the time, to be honest with you. I take berberine all the time because you know what? I think we're getting hit with a lot of stuff all the time. So I think you're just better off. And that's why you eat a lot of garlic. Take berber caps, you know, and you do these natural antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal stuff all the time because there's caca in everything we're doing, what
yeah,
we're touching.
That's
I mean,
true.
Yeah. So you can't get away from it.
Right. Oh, good. Okay. So before we go into the next question, Leilani, do we have anybody waiting to ask a live question?
I just decided to go get some supplements when I read that. I'm taking
I know. After, I was looking over at my supplements, too.
Like,
it's so funny.
Ooh, what will I take now? I'm going to take some chiolic and some noic acid and some more berberine. Just because I read that question. I was like,
oh, no, parasitic. anyway, Leilani, sorry for interrupting. Are there any live questions?
Not at this time.
Okay, great. So we'll move on. Let's have everybody on the call take a tiny little supplement break after that question.
I was like, get the antifungals and antibacterials.
Oh my gosh. All right, so the next question is actually a repeat of one that we've already answered, so we'll move on to the next one.
Okay.
I have a minor one, minor question. Most of the time and generally not feeling particularly great. Then last night, Saturday, after dinner, a headache began and developed into a severe one. I resisted taking anything until 11 p.m., hoping it would subside, but it just got worse. Here's what I ate on Saturday. For breakfast, hot rice cereal with almond milk and a few walnuts. Caffeinated green tea. Lunch, black bean burger with three small avocado wedges sprinkled with lime juice. Mid-afternoon, spinach and arugula salad with broccoli, cauliflower, and radishes with Italian dressing, no sugar added. And for dinner, slices of fresh roasted turkey and sautéed zucchini with garlic and lime juice. 8 to 10 glasses of filtered water throughout the day, 2 slices of sugar-free gum. I don't see where the problem is. I really want to keep with this, but I'm not feeling well. Any insight you can provide is greatly appreciated.
Okay, here's what I need to know. And she said this is not dramatically different from the way I typically eat, except for eliminating the offending foods and portion control. Well, here's what I don't know. I don't know. You said I have a minor headache most of the time. I think I'm minor one most of the time. I have a minor headache most of the time and generally not feeling particularly great.
Oh, right.
Is that before you started this? That's what I didn't. I read this whole thing and I went, has that been since you started,
mm-hmm.
or is this old? You've always had this, because I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, if you've cut your portions a lot, right, then that could be part of it. When you say you're eliminating the offending foods, so I don't know if you were eating a lot of more carby, sugary stuff before, and so you're having some adjustment to that. I do notice that you started breakfast and you had no protein at breakfast. You had hot cereal
and
with almond milk.
Exactly. I'm so glad you started commenting on the day, because this is not the cleanse.
It's not our program. Yeah,
not the program. I'm so glad you said
program,
something. Right.
I would never have someone eat that for breakfast. You started off with a big blood sugar up and down. That would give you headache.
Exactly.
Number two.
And hot rice cereal.
Yeah, you had you hardly ate any lunch at all. You had a black bean burger, which isn't something on the plan.
And a lot of those black bean burgers, you really have to look at the – I'm guessing that it's packaged. And if you look at those ingredients, they are chock full of soy and other things. So I just wanted to make sure that I said that.
Yeah, so what I'm wondering is a black bean burger with 3 small avocado wedges. Where's the real protein? I mean, you didn't get enough protein from the black bean burger. Where are the vegetables? Because this is deficient right here. You didn't have enough food there. And then you had this salad mid-afternoon. Okay. But normally we say to do a little protein carb push if you're having a snack. That's not what that was. And then dinner, you had roasted turkey and zucchini. So you're not following the plan. Just right
at all. There was no good fat there. And there were no, I mean, sautéed zucchini. I'm just curious how much, you know, zucchini, again, has seeds in it. Remember, that's more of a fruit
No, zucchini's a vegetable. But
I thought zucchini had seeds in it and it was a fruit.
But I'm looking at not enough healthy – this isn't following the plan. So what I'd say is go back, review it, follow the plan, and let us know if you've always had headaches or if this is brand new. But until you follow the plan, I'm kind of up in the air on this. But I'd also say if you're a chronic headache person, the first thing I'd like to see you do is lift up magnesium in your diet, start taking magnesium citrate twice a day. Let's see how you feel doing that. But, you know, again, this isn't the program.
Right.
Like,
and so I wanted everyone listening.
You pulled out some of the foods, but you haven't put in the foods you're supposed to be eating.
But I'm glad this was said, because this is sometimes what happens, is that people say, well, I've made some changes, and so, look, I'm doing this, and you really, I can't reiterate enough, even some people in the team underscore this for you, JJ, the plate, it's in your welcome materials. You really want to look at that PDF, because anywhere you are, you always know what your plate should look like, what should be on that plate, and that's really what's going to help you understand how you're functioning, what you can put back in after the cleanse, and you'll understand what's going on a lot better. So, again, it's in your welcome materials. The plate would be a good thing to refer back to.
Yes. Good. Okay. By the way, you did great pulling out some
I know. I wanted to just say
so
that.
Did,
I know.
Yeah, it's like you're like A-. Just make
right.
those couple
I
adjustments,
mean,
and then let's see if that fixes it. If it doesn't, let's try some magnesium and let's troubleshoot again.
Exactly. The next one, sorry, I can't make the call. If my doctor has prescribed a weekly dose of Fosamax, right?
Yeah, Fosamax. Ooh, Fosamax. I can't stand that stuff.
It is. Is it okay to take the detox nutrients, or will they affect how the Fosamax works? Thanks. Have a great day.
Well, don't take anything. You know, you take your Fosamax, you have to stay upright for an hour so it doesn't burn a hole through your esophagus. Don't take anything right when you take it. But, gosh, if anything, it should not have any interaction. I would always check with your doctor. To be safe, what I would tell you is don't take them that day. There should be no, if anything, it should just help protect you. Gosh, Fosamax is such a toxic medication. But to be safe, I'd say let's not take it that day.
Okay.
You know, let's just not take it that day. But, you know, always check with your doctor. But there should, I can't see what would interact there.
Okay. Whew. So the next question actually is a series of questions. Number one, I'm actually not starting the two-week cleanse until today. This was probably sent in a few days ago, but I'm not 100% sure because I didn't have all my supplements, but I've been gearing up for it by eating more fruits and vegetables and not eating any dairy, grain, sugars, etc. But I've been having major gas that's extremely stinky. I've always been had a sensitivity to salads. Whenever I eat them in the evening, I usually wake up in the middle of the night with medium to major discomfort from gas, often from just burping, but sometimes both. Why is this happening, and what can I do about it?
Well, they call that IBS, which, you know, irritable bowel syndrome. Salads can be one of the most notorious triggers, and I always hear that, and I go, IBS is sort of like, we don't know. We'll call it that. So what I would say is right now, don't eat salads until we see if we can heal your gut some so that you can handle them. Fruits, you should be having two fruits a day. We want to make sure you're really chewing your foods. At this point, you want to look at the foods that are upsetting your stomach and pull them out for now. It tends to be with IBS, stringy meats, spicy foods, and raw vegetables. So I would eat cooked vegetables, and I would limit your fruit to two, and I would make sure that you're taking the plant enzymes and chewing well, because you shouldn't be getting stinky gas. And I would absolutely look at PermaClear and probiotics. So, and I would be on that for a month. Give it time.
So the next question, on page one of the meal plans and recipes for week one, it says that for the one meal you can have one serving of high-fiber starchy carbs. It says half a cup of cooked beans or rice. Yet on the list of foods you can eat, it says you can eat as much as you can of beans.
Green beans.
Right, yeah. Okay, so which is it? Okay, great. Good clarification. So that was green beans.
Green
by the way,
beans are not legumes. They're non-starchy vegetables.
By the way, I've been eating overall healthily for years and years. I've never had caffeine, alcohol, almost never have soda. I drink 8 to 10 cups of lemon lime water a day. I seldom eat at fast food restaurants, eat candy, dessert, but I love my dairy and drink raw milk. I make my own kefir. I eat eggs from my sister's chickens. I eat cheese, butter, sour cream, etc. I also eat bread, pasta, rice, but not in excessive quantities. I do love my potatoes, though. After all, I am an Idaho girl. LOL. Thanks.
Okay, so wait. So, well, let's see how you do after this, because you might find that you can make your own raw kefir, your own raw Greek yogurt, but right now you're not going to be. So,
yeah,
sorry.
To see.
Sorry, Idaho girl. Later.
and these are, we have two more questions. I think we're getting into the, which is great, right into the time.
Phew. Okay.
Hi, Jackie and JJ. I have three questions. First, do you have any suggestions on where to get a clean water source when tap water is absolutely not an option, even with a filter? Every source I find is at some point in plastic, other than something like Perrier, which I don't want. I can't find water in glass or other containers.
Well, at home, you could order the Green Valley Mountain water.
Right, right.
So if you can't use filters on your refrigerator and on your sinks, then you could always get the Green Valley water, because that comes in glass. And out, you can get a filtered bottle that you can fill up, and it will filter it for you.
And the second, at one point in the class, agave is mentioned, and I paraphrase here, but JJ says, don't even get me started on agave. Is there a health risk for this, and why is it not allowed on this program?
Because it's higher in fructose than high fructose corn syrup, and our body metabolizes fructose. And I'm sorry, there just came out, it's like there is such a war. There's like the fructose and non-fructose, anti-fructose factions, like, rah, you
know?
But
I know.
It comes down to the science, because all this, they just brought out another thing saying, oh, the studies are saying fructose is fine. But here's the deal. It's metabolized differently. It goes straight to the liver, and it perturbs insulin metabolism in the liver. And they've shown that high fructose diets tend to stimulate fatty liver, more insulin production, creating insulin resistance. It glycates worse than the other sugars do, which means that it binds to protein without the need of enzymes and makes you age faster. So it's like a bad thing. So I don't know. This whole idea that this agave is this like healthy thing is so ridiculous. And I love to say it's all natural. Well, I mean, there are a lot of things that are all natural, like arsenic, that you really don't want to be eating. Mercury is natural.
And also, agave is like sort of the darling right now, and the best thing, because it's like it's plant. Some things are just processed in a way that you don't.
Oh yeah, and the way
you're not
processed. Don't get
exactly.
Me on that. There's no raw agave.
Right.
I'm sorry.
That
can't
you're not.
Be.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not privy to that processing. So you
but
know,
you're not
always
privy to the process. But you know, here's the thing. Even if fructose was no different than any other sugar, it's sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It's sugar.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sugar's evil, and it just is evil. It just is. And it was funny because yesterday someone's like, well, I don't need any sugar, but I love my bread. There is tons of sugar in bread. So, you know, it's just
starch is sugar.
Yeah.
That's what people need to understand. Starch is
right,
sugar.
And just get into the habit of reading the labels. If you're just trying to take baby steps, just there, we're so lucky there really are labels on almost everything that you can buy. Just look at the back. You'll be so shocked sometimes to read the all-natural food you just picked up or any of that.
Yeah.
It's so processed with so much corn in it, so much soy in it. Remember the word whey is another word for dairy. You know, start to get familiar with all these words that are disguised for you to think, oh, this is all natural. I just really
natural is a stupid term because there's a lot of natural stuff that's not healthy.
Exactly.
So
and if you just start to
that.
Yeah. And
you
if
know,
you just start to read I'm so glad you did. Exactly. And I hope this does not sound stupid here. Just to Callie, there's no stupid question ever. But should I continue to take my supplements? They were all from Mother's Market. We talked about supplements, I think, in an earlier question.
Yes.
So the last question is, why do you use coconut milk in your shake when it has more fat than almond milk? We talked about that in question two. So, Leilani, are there any other live questions?
Not at this time.
Great. So we got through everyone's questions. Oh, JJ, I get so happy. I feel like I can cross this off the list when we get through all of them.
It's like, phew, another marathon. And you know what's so funny is meanwhile during this whole call, Habib and I have been emailing back and forth like hilarious stuff.
How do you do these in-depth answers? Emailing back and forth. I can't believe that.
So funny.
Well, excellent. So I'm glad. Always, you know, feel free to ask questions.
Ask us everything, and I love these questions. And honestly, you know, I mean, if you're the one that asked about agave, gosh, everyone's falling prey to that. So
everyone.
It just drives
us crazy. It is the darling. And you know what's so funny? There'll be a new darling of the industry that
yes.
says, this is the newest natural plant-based thing that's wonderful for you. And just many times it's confusing. And
yeah.
you're just sitting there going, well, can I do this? Can I not? You know, I do have one other question because I get this personally from my friends, and I forgot to even add it into the Q&A. People want to know if they can use stevia throughout the cleanse because they see that stevia is in the shake. And I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, here's the deal with stevia. Okay, so stevia is fine. There's a phenomenon called calorie dysregulation, and the studies were done on, I believe it was aspartame. It was an artificial sweetener, not stevia. Stevia is an herb, that is a sweet taste. As you know, if you eat too much of it, it's got a little bit of a nasty, little bit of really nasty at back aftertaste. But it's an all-natural herb with no calories. The concern I have with it, if you got too hooked into it, I don't think a little bit in a shake or a little bit in your coffee is the issue, but like someone, I'd like someone carrying around the stevia shaker. Like, I'm like, put that down, you know? If you're carrying stevia shakers in your purse, in your car, and like, you know,
oh my,
you've got
gosh.
A problem, all right? So let's just be real. So anyway, but calorie dysregulation is where your body can't correlate the degree of sweetness to what you're eating, and you start to crave more sweet and overeat because of it. And so that's the only, like, caution with it. But I think most of the people I've seen, except for the one stevia addict that I was telling you about, it's really not an issue. So my big goal is to kind of retrain your taste buds to identify the natural sweetness and things, but I also recognize that this is genetic. Our tastes are genetic. It is such a trip. I mean, it's so definitely genetically based. And that for some people, they just have a sweet tooth. I don't have a sweet tooth. My mother, my adopted mom, has such a sweet tooth. It is amazing. I mean, I grew up in a house with like ice cream and cookies and candy, all sorts of stuff stashed all the time, and she's a food pusher. And I'm like, I don't want that. Come on, just have a little dessert. I don't want it. I'm not a sweet person. Don't care about it. Could care less. So, you know, but she is. So for her, wouldn't stevia be a little better than, you know, something else? Yeah, it's definitely better than fructose. So, you know, so you got to look at what the best option is in any situation. And for those of you with sweet tooths, we want to retrain you as much as possible to recognize natural sweetness, but I also recognize that you're going to want more sweet than I am. And so let's figure out the best options for you.
Awesome. Great. Oh. Okay, well, JJ, thank you as usual. I'm so glad we got through this, and we will see you on the next Q&A. And again, thank you everybody in the cleanse for asking
Such good questions. You guys are so smart. I love it.
And thanks for submitting questions, because, you know, a lot of times other people are just afraid to ask, but they want to know the same the things that you're asking. So thanks so much for doing that. And, again, keep talking on the team. Keep your questions coming, and we will all get together next time. Thanks, JJ.
All righty. Bye, honey.
Bye.